morning. I want to talk to you all about community this morning. I was actually starting this sermon before I heard the message last week from Pastor Michael, and that was all about how we need to come to church, how we need to be together, how we're not made to be alone. So I thought, thank God's trying to tell us something throughout this and throughout these messages. Lord Jesus, I just want to lift you up this morning before I preach this message, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth are not my own, that they're not my own thoughts and my own ideas and my own opinion, Lord, but that it all comes from you, that it's from your word, it's from what you want us to hear this morning. Lord, we pray that the heart, our hearts are open, our ears are open, Lord, and we take on what you want to tell us this morning, and we walk away from this place changed, encouraged, and challenged this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, people aren't made to do life alone. Pretty sure we all know that because that's what the Bible says. Recently, though, we had a foster daughter join our family. Throughout the initial assessment, there was a lot of emphasis on the community that we have as a family surrounding us. We had to do an eco map, one of many mind maps, of our support system and the people in our lives. This is because even the government departments know how important it is to have other people to go to in times of need and stress. We also had to answer questions about who we turn to in times of need. The person conducting our assessment and the company we foster through recognises that most Western people have their immediate family and that is it. So they needed to make sure that we were part of a larger community. If immediate family are the only people you have around you, it is very isolating. In times of stress or times of crisis and need, especially if the conflict you are experiencing is between yourself and one of these family members, it is important to have people to turn to for help. These days, we're more of an individualistic culture. Everyone is out for themselves. Our connections with others tend to be shallow, short-lived, and pretty much only relying on convenience. We often put on the facade of our true selves and cover the pain in our lives, pretending that everything is okay and we don't need help. This is especially easy since the introduction of social media. I recently had a friend admit that she was struggling with terrible postnatal depression. Her child is almost 2 years old, and I didn't know this. This is because our relationship was mainly based on Facebook, on Messenger, and over Instagram. In all the photos she posted, things looked perfect. In all the statuses and comments she put up, she was always cheerful and grateful. The beautiful photos and the cheery status updates put up a mask for her to hide behind when really she was struggling on her own and hurting for almost 2 years. We used to be a society that centered around family. Multiple generations often lived together under one roof. And when families did live separately, they never moved very far. Time has changed, especially in the Western world. We rely on ourselves rather than wanting to bother others for assistance. How many of you have heard that from your parents? Oh, I didn't want to bother you. Bother me. Yeah, do. You help us, we want to help you. We live far away from where we were raised. Our connections with other people take place most often in the workplace, but those connections are usually shallow, fickle, and short-lived, because when you change jobs, you often change friends. In the church, we see this sense of individualism and disconnectedness as well. Many people go from church to church, which we nickname church hopping. They never stay in one place very long. Some may say they are part of a certain church but remain distant, attending only when something better isn't going on. And then there are those who may have a committed relationship with a particular church, but they are not all in. They aren't fully known by their community. They don't rely on their church members when they are struggling or in need, and instead they pretend that everything is okay even when it's not. Christianity Christians who study the Word of God should know that isolation and doing life on our own is not part of God's design. After all, God is a community in himself. There is the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God's word speaks of the love and fellowship of their perfect triune community. In creating mankind, God desired for us to participate in that community and know the perfect and joyous love the Godhead share. But God didn't stop there. He didn't create a man to be in a community with him alone. After he created the world and Adam, God then created a woman to be in community together with the man, to create families and live together, bearing the image of and reflecting the three-in-one God. Scripture tells us a lot about community. God chose the Israelites to be his people. They lived and worshipped him together in community. Following the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, God then instituted the church, the body of Christ, as a community of believers. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are a body of Christ and individually members of it." So individualism is not a part of God's design. God shows us the importance of community in his word and in his being. In creating mankind, God desired for us to live in community with one another and know the joyous life that you can share. This is because we were made in the image of a triune God who has always existed in the community as Father, Son, and the Spirit, like I said before. But people out in the world are clued on to the benefits of living within a community too. There are lots of programs created by the council and government to bring people together. There is a lot of funding poured into community groups and events. Look on your council side if you're interested. Some ways that our local area does community includes kindergartens and school. We're always encouraged to build relationships with other parents and families through events and teams of people working together to fundraise, even if you're not comfortable with that sort of thing. Mothers groups for new mums. Every first time mum, except for me because they forgot to put my paperwork in Adelaide, is placed in a group of other first time mums where they meet regularly and have a chance to form friendships for both their child and themselves. And most of the time this lasts long, long, long into the future after the children have siblings and they still catch up. Playgroups. There are playgroups all over Adelaide for parents with children under the age of 5. I swear there's one every day of the week, probably two that you could go to around here. The Onkaparinga Council has a team of playgroup leaders who regularly meet together to improve their networking and upskill. The playgroup times vary from different days to different times of the day. Some focus specifically on music or specifically on parenting skills, depending on what you're interested in. Sports. There are so many different sporting groups advertised around Adelaide, and from an outward perspective, their communities are tight-knit. All players and families are actively involved in helping out and dedicated to turning up to both practices and games on time. After the games, the teams sometimes go out for lunch together. The children grow up together and the parents form strong relationships. Let's think about that from a church perspective. Let's look at some of the ways our own church does community. Number one, we have regular weekly gatherings on Sunday mornings to worship God and annual gatherings on special days such as Good Friday, Easter, and Christmas. Number two, we have music practice nights where people with a common interest gather to fellowship and learn together. Number three, rosters for different teams of people working together for a common goal and serving God together. Our rosters include cleaning, kitchen, kids' church, etc. Bakery nights, working with others in the community and our church to feed people in need. Transformers youth group for high school age people. In between us, we're not quite sure on the age group there. Grown-ups, I did call them the elderly last week, and I think that was probably the wrong term. Op shop, our hand-in-hand op shop. Bridge Builders Outreach, Grow Kids Creche, Grow Kids Church, Working Bees, prayer meetings, Bible study groups, Christmas productions, and I'm sure I'm missing plenty more, but I would say that we do all of these things well. Grow Church provides us all with ample opportunities for connecting with other people, but community only works when two or more of us are gathered together regularly and get to know each other. Scripture is all about living in community. The Bible tells us to spend time and bear with one another in community. No matter what stage of life you are in, you always have something to share or learn from others. You are called to love one another, lift each other up, and be the friend that each of us longs for. God didn't intend for us to live life alone. The Bible also instructs us to go to church. Church is not merely a building. Church is also not meeting together once a week for a couple of hours. God wants us to be the church. And by this, he means we need to be each other's support network. We have been brought into fellowship with God and each other through the work of Jesus Christ. When we talk about fellowship, we are talking about the shared union, the shared participation that we have in Christ. As believers, we are bonded in the spiritual reality of being united with Christ and the hope of eternal life with God. Now, Satan tries to lead us to live a life of our own any chance he gets. Especially with anxiety and depression running rampant in our society, that's a really good one for Satan to get into. Have you ever heard the term self-talk? Yep. I've learned about this a lot growing up. Your self-talk is what you say to yourself and what you think about yourself. And your self-talk should be positive and not reflect negative emotions. We should recognize the beautiful qualities in ourselves that God sees in us. However, during times when you begin to feel down and you don't feel like being around other people, it's common for your self-talk to spiral into a negative one. Satan likes it when you are alone because it's easy for you to begin to focus inwards and you begin to criticize yourself and you begin to criticize your life and you begin to second guess your purpose. Your self-talk turns to self-loathing and self-pity. You begin to feel guilty for things that God has already forgiven you for. You begin to dig up grudges against other people that have been buried long ago or you created from your own thoughts. You begin to compare yourself to others. So Satan's first and primary method of attack is always to isolate you. When he gets you to a place where you feel alone and unsupported, all kinds of lies can take root in your heart. Without the edification and encouragement of truthful voices, the devil whispers to you that you are a victim, that you are being taken advantage of, and that nobody loves you. Satan likes to use isolation to make you think you don't need anybody else. You begin to think you can do life on your own. It's easier without the arguments and differing opinions of others. It's also less effort to actually leave the house on a Sunday morning and just stay in bed. And the more we give in to this, the harder it is to get back to church. I remember when I was a teenager, this was just after I'd recommitted my life to God, and I was constantly inviting friends to church. They would be 100% committed to coming, but then last minute the excuses would get in the way. My car broke down, I had a late night, my family are going out for lunch today, etc. Couldn't think of anything worse than going out to lunch with my family in my teenage years, but whatever. In the end, I wouldn't believe they were coming to church until they were sitting in the passenger seat of my car as I drove them myself. It's so easy to come up with these excuses for yourself, though. I'm not feeling well. I might stay home and see how I go. I'm tired today and I have a huge week with work. I'll stay home and rest. The kids have been crazy this weekend. I will keep them home because it's easier. However, as you surround yourself with like-minded Christian people, Satan loses his power over your thoughts and when you resist him, he will flee. While it's important to spend time in solitude with God and his word, he didn't design us to live in isolation. In the word, we will find that it tells us that we simply can't function without each other. God designed us to crave belonging and community. There are a number of reasons why gathering with other Christians is important from a biblical view. I really should have made a PowerPoint, but I didn't have time, so I apologize. Number one reason is fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad." God created us not to be isolated human beings, but rather to live life with others. Being in church on Sunday is important, but church doesn't have to stop there. Spending time with one another in fellowship with God and each other in between Sundays can help you grow in your faith even more. We need community and fellowship to help build us up in truth and love. Number two, as a support network. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "Carry one another's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Have you ever had a problem or an issue or struggling with guilt and you tell your close friend, you've been keeping it inside for days, maybe weeks, and suddenly you let it out and it feels so much better because you're sharing it with somebody else? That's what it's all about. Number three, encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says, "And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Talking about when Jesus comes back. Number four, prayer warriors. We've got prayer warriors in this room. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." There is power in praying for your community. Yes, you can do this at home alone. Yes, you can do it at home just with God. Yes, the war room looks really awesome when she locks herself in the closet and eats chips and prays to God. But there's power in praying with people for your community. There are needs all around us. Many of us think we have no way of making an impact in the world around us, or we don't know how. Prayer is such a simple yet powerful way to be a part of a community and have an impact on others' lives. Number five, wise counsel. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." I remember Pastor Michael preaching about this quite often, how us young people, or even younger people, I'm not quite that young anymore, need to learn from people older than us. And older people, when they retire or when they don't feel like they're useful anymore, they need to teach younger people. It's all about learning from people who are wiser than yourself. You can ask questions, which is really fun, and you can challenge people. Number six, Bible study and discussion. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47 says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Number seven, self-esteem and self-value. People make us feel valued. And when we're out in a community, we feel like a contributing member to the society. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5 says, "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Let me say that again, because that was a bit confusing. "Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts don't have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. So we're all an important part of this church. We're all an important part of the body. Without the neck, our head doesn't turn. When we grow in relationships with others, we grow in our relationship with Christ. And the truth is, we need each other. We need to trust, rely on, and depend upon other believers. God gave us each other to walk alongside, to encourage, and to spur one another on in faith. Though society might tell us that we can do life on our own, God's word tells us that we simply can't function without each other. We need each other and we need community. The Bible shows that fellowship is based upon common faith, common purpose, common work, common suffering, common belief, common need, common hope, and common conviction. So what do members of community clubs and groups have in common? They have the same hopes, goals, and purpose. They want to win games, get fit, healthy, make friends. They have the same needs to be a part of something bigger and a member of the team, to feel like they're contributing and they belong. And they have the same ideas. They want to follow the rules of the sport, and the organization have things such as uniform and guidelines on behavior. Being a part of the church community is much the same. As a Christ follower, we need to also be an example. We need to show our love for Christ and others in our community. We sing a worship song with lyrics that say, "Everybody needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everybody needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, and the hope of nations." I think it's mighty to save. If there's no compassion, there can be no true transparency, there can be no true accountability, and there can be no non-judgmental love that Jesus shows us. We need to have that non-judgment. Ultimately, without these things, there can be no fellowship. So we need to have compassion. 1 John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love each other." Our community is different from society's view of community because we have love for people. But let's be honest, anytime you spend a lot of time with someone, challenges will arise. We're all so different. And it was no different in biblical times, and it's no different now. But the key is to remember that as believers, we belong to a community of people, and we are responsible to that community of people. We are expected to share our gifts and talents with each other. We are expected to love, to be generous, to encourage, to live in unity, and to be humble. Why? Because that's how the world will know that we belong first to Christ and second to each other. Community starts with a commitment to grow in knowledge of God, with spiritual growth coming from the application of this knowledge. The book of Acts writes about the first church. Acts 2:42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching," which is what we do by listening to the sermon and then studying it and talking about it after. Acts 2:46 says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." Do you reckon you could come to church every day? You do. I do. I pretty much live here. How awesome would that be to have worship every day? We say it like we want to do it, but then I bet when it's on, we wouldn't turn up. And Acts 4:33 says, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." A desire to grow spiritually must be present in us as the starting point of growing a biblical community. Without it, we're just hanging out. We're no different to any other group of people that gather. Fellowship, hanging out, doing life, etc., is what it's all about. If you think about it, it's kind of both the means and the ends. Fellowship is the heart of community. Looking at the passages from Acts, you get the idea that fellowship has two key parts: being together and being together often. Fellowship can't happen unless we're hanging out, doing life together, and doing it frequently. I know I'm really cut this short. I think I spoke too fast. I'm going to finish with an excerpt from Paul Tripp's book, Whiter Than Snow, Meditations on Sin and Mercy. It says, "We weren't created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all that we need within ourselves. So we settle for relationships that never go beneath the casual. We defend ourselves when the people around us point out a weakness or a wrong. We hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources God has given us. Let's utilize our community to grow ourselves, to build relationship with others, and to serve our God together. Lord Jesus, I just want to lift you up this morning. Lord, we pray that those words that you have implanted in our hearts, Lord Jesus, they stay with us. That we have the urge, the drive, the motivation to continue to build our community, to continue to build our relationship with one another, and to continue to fellowship and serve you. Lord, we pray that you keep this on our hearts and our minds as we go about the next week, the next 2 weeks. Lord, that we remember that people in this church, in our church body, are important, Lord. Yeah, and relationship with them is important and it's vital. Lord, we pray that you don't let the devil get in. You don't let him get in and isolate us, Lord, and turn our thoughts negative, Lord. We pray that you protect us against that and keep us strong. In Jesus' name, amen.